This is the Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alex Gold.
Back in on the program, and there's not a better guy to talk to when it comes to what's occurred in the last 24 hours with the Odell Beckham Jr. deal. 5 years, $95 million, $65 million guaranteed. Of course, the ongoing stalemate with Khalil Mack and the Raiders. What's going on with Aaron Donald and the Rams? And then on the quarterback spot, when's that new deal coming for Aaron Rodgers? We welcome in Joel Corey, former NFL agent, NFL contract salary cap expert. You can check out his work at CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter at Corey Joel. And thanks so much for hopping on with us tonight. And let's start with the Odell Beckham Jr. deal from yesterday. 5 years, reportedly that $95 million. Your reaction to the dollar amount that Beckham was able to get, and they get it done well before the season?
Got to correct you on one point.
Sure.
It's not $95 million. The base value is $90
million. Okay.
Still makes him the highest paid receiver in football. But this is a case where you have to be careful what the original report is. Never understand why agents just don't give you what the actual contract is, because it's going to come out. Anyway, the last $5 million to make it $95 is salary escalators, $2.5 million each the last 2 years of the contract, where he has to perform like he did in the first 3 years to trigger the full amount of the escalators, and the Giants have to make the playoffs. So it's basically 96 catches, 1,374 receiving yards, and 12 touchdowns are the individual thresholds. But nonetheless, he's got $65 million overall guarantees, most ever in receiver contract, shade under 41 fully guaranteed. At signing, best of a current receiver contract, and good cash flow where he's getting two-thirds of the new money in the first 3 new years.
Now, let me ask you this. How beneficial do you think it was, being a former agent, when you look at how these negotiations, at least from the outside, kind of went, where, hey, he showed up to camp, he practiced out there, I should say, and while the negotiations were ongoing, he risked himself there on the injury front?
Well, he kind of had to after the owner spanked him at the owner's meetings and kind of intimated that he could go on the trading block. So he had to be on his best behavior, mind his P's and Q's. Also, he was dealing with a head coach and a GM, didn't have any history with them. So if he wanted to get paid, they would have to get to know him and be comfortable with him as well. So I'm not surprised that he reported.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of surprised he didn't pull what I call a hold in, which is, man, my ankle's not feeling all that good, I can't go today, once he got there. Fortunately, both sides didn't want to play any preseason games. That was a problem last year. Got hurt in the preseason, mm-hmm. and that may have carried over and contributed to the broken ankle, which knocked him out the bulk of last year. I think what he did that was pretty smart in hindsight was playing the joint practices with the Lions, because he looked good going against someone else, and that may have also contributed to him getting the deal sooner rather than later as well.
Talking about the latest contracts around the National Football League with Joel Corey. He's a former NFL agent, NFL contract salary cap expert. You can check out his work at CBSSports.com. And what does a deal like Odell Beckham Jr. just got do for, all right, let's look ahead to next season or the next year or two when you see Julio Jones or a Tyreek Hill or a Michael Thomas?
It's going to be an important data point benchmark for this supposed Julio Jones renegotiation that the Falcons assured was going to happen next offseason. Given Julio's age, 30, the guarantees won't be that relevant because the length of the contract will be shorter. Maybe it's a 2, maybe it's a 3 year extension, but the new money average will be greater than $18 million per year, provided Julio doesn't have a significant injury this year or there's a significant drop off in his play. Michael Thomas and Tariq Hill drafted the same year. 2019 will be their contract years. Thomas, this deal could come into play for him as a benchmark as well. Hill's interesting from the standpoint that he seems to have the best rapport with Patrick Mahomes right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the receiver on the other side is making $16 million per year, Sammy
right.
Watkins. So if Tyreek Hill is outperforming Sammy Watkins, there's a snowball's chance in hell that he's going to sign a deal for less than Sammy Watkins. So you could see the range being between Beckham and the Sammy Watkins deal, unless he has just a monster year where he does something he's never done before. Dark horse guy, Amari Cooper.
Wow.
Next year's his fifth-year option, 2019. First 2 years were 1,000-yard years. Last year was terrible.
Yeah.
Strong bounce-back year. That comes into play potentially. But there's another dynamic that's interesting. Joel Siegel represents Khalil Mack, also represents Amari Cooper.
Interesting. Let's talk about Khalil Mack. You brought him up there, and that's where we're headed. And, you know, new reports out today about this stalemate between him and the organization and this thing looking like it's going to linger into the start of the season. How surprised are you just the way this whole thing has been handled, that maybe they haven't been talking much, going back to the beginning of the offseason, and here we sit, you know, 9 days, 10 days from week one of the NFL season, and there's no end in sight?
Very surprised, because typically you want to take care of your best players, because the longer you wait to sign a very good player, and or not even a very good player, a good player, the longer it's going to cost you in the long run. It's not like there are any character concerns or injury issues with Khalil Mack. Last year, middle of the season, Reggie McKenzie was talking about wanting to get Mack done, wondering whether the agent would feel the same way. What's the different variable in the equation? John Gruden. Now, I had the last veteran player holdout that for a John Gruden team with Keenan McCardell in Tampa. Seems like Gruden hadn't learned a whole lot about how devastating a holdout can be, because in 2004, Keenan McCardell got to the point where he didn't want to play in Tampa, so our strategy became, I know you're not going to pay me, I want to get out of town, and we're going to do everything at all costs and do things which are uncharacteristic for a mild-mannered player to get out of town. Ultimately, they traded him to the Chargers at the trading deadline. I don't know Khalil Mack's temperament, how he feels, but I'm pretty sure he feels extremely disrespected by the lack of even a negotiation. So what if Khalil Mack gets to that point like McCardell did and starts trying to do everything in his power to get out of town? John Gruden hasn't dealt well with a disgruntled player in his midst. He sent Keyshawn Johnson home because he was having problems with him. He should be very concerned about Khalil Mack coming back in at some point this year and being the second coming of Keyshawn Johnson.
I mean, at this point in time, I think I talked to folks, you know, NFL writers, you know, a few weeks ago, and we were discussing, all right, how likely is it that a guy like Khalil Mack would even be traded? And at that point in time, everybody was like, we've seen crazy things, but I don't see anything like that happening. And now here we are, it's August 28th. Do you think that's something we really should seriously be considering at this point in time, that Khalil Mack could get traded? And if that were to happen, what's that process like behind the scenes as you being a former NFL agent?
I put it 70% stay and come back at some point so this contract doesn't toll and it expires, and 30% traded. Most holdouts fail, but let's say they do end up trying to trade him. It becomes complicated because, one, the new team should want to get a new deal done with him, and that's going to be a very expensive proposition. Whatever Aaron Donald gets, Khalil Mack is going to want more. And you also have to give up significant compensation from a trade standpoint in order to get Khalil Mack. So that's two big hurdles right there. One, you got to be comfortable paying him $22, $23 million per year, whatever it is Aaron Donald's going to get plus. And then you're going to have to give up at least one first-round pick and more. Maybe it's a quality player. And depending upon where the first-round pick is, how high will determine exactly what else is in the equation. I'm going to peg the Jared Allen compensation as a benchmark. When he's a franchise player, he was traded to Minnesota, mm-hmm. mid-first-round pick and two-thirds. Now, what would likely happen is once the Raiders get Renero on a team, they'll probably give the agent permission, if it gets to this point, probably give the agent permission to start negotiating a new contract with the team that's interested in trading for him, because I was in that situation helping represent Patrick Surtain in 2005. The Dolphins gave us permission to talk to the Chiefs. We actually had the contract in place before the Dolphins and Chiefs agreed on trade compensation.
Fantastic stuff with Joel Corey, former NFL agent, NFL contract salary cap expert. Again, you can check out his work at CBSSports.com. Just another minute or two with him. And you brought up Aaron Donald there a little bit, and some of the reports out there are making it seem like we're looking at $22 million roughly a year, maybe $80 million or so guaranteed. Is that kind of what you would have expected if that, in fact, is what it is going to be for Aaron Donald?
Yeah, that's in the ballpark, because if you take Von Miller's deal, which is the current non-quarterback benchmark, and adjust it for the increase in the cap from when he signed in 2016, that puts you at just under $22 million per year, right around $80 million overall guarantees. Yeah, so that's something which I've always expected that it would be there, if not more.
And a player that people aren't, a different contract situation, there's no holdout or anything like that, is the quarterback Aaron Rodgers. What do you think that's something that maybe is a mid-season deal that can get done there? And what are we looking at financially there that will likely make him, maybe you disagree, what would be the highest paid player in the league at that point in time?
Yeah, any deal Aaron Rodgers signs should make him the highest paid player in the league. And don't forget that there isn't the same sense of urgency there is of other guys, because his contract runs through the 2019 season. Their typical timetable has been when he has 2 years left. They don't have to have something done by the beginning of the year, but anywhere between $32 and $35 million per year is the average. It won't be a fully guaranteed contract. It'll probably be Matt Ryan, so he'll probably give up 5 new years, have $100 million or more in overall guarantees, maybe close to that also in what's fully guaranteed in signing. And this whole ability to opt out at his discretion, I don't think that'll be in the deal. That's something that's been bandied about, is why this thing has taken so long.
Fantastic stuff. Joel Corey, former NFL agent, kind enough to join us tonight on SB Nation Radio. A fantastic Twitter follow if you want the in and outs as guys are getting new deals and kind of want the inside on the background of everything. He's unbelievable follow, at Corey Joel on Twitter. Thanks so much.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Interesting stuff from him, hearing him talk about also, you know, the compensation potentially that it would take. Let's say a trade did happen, Bobby, for Khalil Mack. He mentioned that you're talking, you know, going back, there has been the Jared Allen trade from the Chiefs to the Vikings would be the comparison, the comp there in terms of the compensation that would be needed to give up. And he brought up his past with John Gruden and Keenan McCardell, and how that was a player that held out, and they kind of saw how that one ended. McCardell ended up in San Diego at the time with the Chargers. But really interesting stuff. I'm glad he was able to hop on with us to give us a little lowdown on the money. And he thinks, you know, the money for Aaron Donald, what, $22 million or so per year, that's about the right ballpark, over $80 million guaranteed what we could see. And there's that seems like the Aaron Donald thing's going to get done here pretty quick. Now it's really going to be the Khalil Mack thing going into the regular season.
And would that be crazy just to see Khalil Mack get traded? Like, that would be...
Hey, I'm a Chiefs fan. I'd love to see. And again, he's saying, and he put it at what? He put 70% chance that he stays in Oakland. And then what he said, 30%, mm-hmm. of course, that he could get traded, which that's a lot higher than I think him and others certainly would have said 2.5 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. But here we are. It's August 28th, right? It's August 28th. So really good stuff from him, and we'll hopefully be able to check in with him down the road as we need to get the lowdown on contracts in the National Football League. We'll take a quick break here on the program, something the SEC is implementing this football season.